what lies ahead. Okay, is everybody all right? Wonderful. Okay, let's see what's the time. You can open up your Bibles in two places. I'm not going to be long this morning. You can go to Daniel chapter 3, and you can go to Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13. So last week we spoke about obedience, and I just want to build a little bit on that this morning and continue with obedience. A theme. So we're trusting the Lord. I want to encourage the house to spend time in John 14 to 17 and also in 1 John. That is the areas we feel the Lord is speaking to us at this moment. The verse for this season that the Lord has given us is out of John 17, 21, where Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer, and he says that, Father, may we be one as they are one. So we're trusting the Lord for an expression of the oneness that is between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Unity is something that already exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's something we are invited into. And from that place, express something about Jesus Christ, right? We are not only here, I love it that we say we don't want to be people that go to church. We want to be the church. And if we want to be the church, there's something of the expression of Jesus Christ that we carry with us in our daily and normal and just what we do day by day. We want to express something about Christ. And I think Heinrich said it sometime. He said, we owe the world an expression of Jesus Christ. Right? We owe him expression, the world expression of Jesus Christ in our lives and what we do. So we are aiming for that. We are working towards that. And we spoke about calling and the process of calling. And then we started to dig into the love of God. And we want to lay the foundation of love before we speak of obedience, because if we speak about obedience, obedience is only the fruit of a life that is rooted in the love of God. Okay? If you want to look at a tree, the roots, they are grounded in the love of God, and whenever you're grounded in the love of God, the fruit of that tree will be obedience to the Lord. Right? Jesus says in John 14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you remember that? Right? And we walk through John a little bit just to see all the scriptures that Jesus speaks about obedience, and he places a high value on obedience. And there's a reason for that, because just to recap, in Genesis, Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden because of disobedience. It was obedience that will keep that would have kept them in the garden, because the father said to them, listen, you can eat of all the trees, but except this one tree, you cannot eat. So it was disobedience that got them out of the garden. If you go to Revelations again, you will see that it is obedience that brings us back to the tree of life, to eat of the tree of life, right? Obedience. We read in Revelations that Jesus says to the church, that you've lost your first love, right? Now, if Jesus says you've lost your first love, and then in John he says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. To come back to our first love is to come back to a place of obedience to Christ and to the call of Christ in our lives, right? In the middle between the old covenant and the new covenant is the cross of Jesus Christ, and I think Jesus is the best example for all of us of obedience. We would not have salvation if it was not for his obedience. He says, he only says what he hears the Father say. He only does what he sees the Father do. He was totally committed to the will of the Father. And when it comes to each of our calls that we are called to live out on this earth, just as Christ could only fulfill that through his obedience, I want to tell you, we can only fulfill our call as the church through our obedience to Christ. There's a way that he has set out for us. And if we want to eat the fruit of life that Christ came to bring us, we must actually choose to walk in that way. It is very simple. So many times we want the blessing of God without wanting to walk in the way of God. If we do not walk in the way of God, we will not have the blessing of God. Right? Andrew Murray says that from paradise lost to paradise regained, the law stays the same. The blessing of God lies in the obedient, is there for the obedient, those who choose to be obedient to the Lord and to Jesus. And just a few thoughts on obedience. And I think this morning, I just sense that the Holy Spirit is calling us to make a choice of obedience. And we'll get there at the end and just take time to choose together. Like I say, we are rooted in the love of God, and obedience would be the fruit. Why love comes first is for this reason. Love does something. The love of the Father does something in our lives. It drives something out. Drives out fear. The fear of failure. The greatest reason why so little people want to try, want to step out, want to be obedient, want to take risk and live in faith is for fear of failing. And I just want to say for us as a house, we want to create an environment where it is safe actually to make a mistake. To walk out. And to risk. Faith and risk, it goes together. There's always risk. Where there's faith involved, there's always risk involved. It is not comfortable. Always, right? I love what I think it's Bill Johnson says, that the Lord always takes us outside of our comfort zone. Because that's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And He makes you uncomfortable so that you will need His comfort in those moments. But you know, Christ, when I look at His life, Jesus always made it easy for people to go and hard for them to stay. I don't know if you've seen it in His life. Like, He gets massive crowds together. And I think in our Western and consumer mindset, when you get a big crowd, you think, this is awesome. I've done something right. This is great. And Jesus gets a massive crowd together, thousands and thousands of people, and then he gives them this sermon. Listen, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you can have a part of me. Like, womp, womp. Right? And the people are there like, what did you just say? Right? That is a weird sermon. And all of them go. All of them walk away. They walk away. And it's not like Jesus is trying to explain Himself that, listen, it's only symbolic. You will only have to drink the juice and eat the cracker matzo thingy. He doesn't explain to them anything. He just drops that bomb and everybody leaves. And then it's not like He's trying to keep everybody there. Then He goes to His disciples and He asks them, listen, do you guys also want to go? Right? So He made it easy to go, but hard to stay. When we get in contact with Him, when we get in contact with the love that He has for us and it drives out the fear, it brings us to a place where we are free to choose to obey, free to go, without fear of failing or being rejected by people or being rejected by Him or being rejected all over. It's just we've come to a place of freedom when that fear is driven out of our lives. Now, God says, okay, so He calls us to obedience, right? What is He asking of us? What is His commandments? It is just so simple to love Him. We are called to believe in Jesus Christ, to love Him and to love one another. That is what the Father is calling us to do. That is His commandments, right? To love Him and to love one another. Now, can we go to Deuteronomy? Sorry, Tendai. I'm trying my best here with my broken English. So let's just read this together. This sums it up very, very nicely. And Jesus refers to this again in John when He says, listen, you must love the Lord and love one another. And this is where God says to Israel, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? So we say, we know we must be obedient. So what must be obedient to? What is He asking of us? To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I'm giving to you today for your own good. Here's the first thing. You know what I've learned about sport? I've learned that in rugby, if you go half-heartedly into a tackle, you get hurt. It's the same with cricket and golf. If you don't fully commit to the shot, it just doesn't end well. Okay. So the first question I just want to bring before us, are we wholeheartedly, are you wholeheartedly in this or not? Are we wholeheartedly in this? Are we really in this with our whole hearts, with our whole minds, with everything that we have? Are we in it with everything? It's a good question to ask ourselves, right? Now, do you know when Jesus says that whoever loses his life will find it? That word life, right? It doesn't mean, Jesus is not trying to say your life, your body, you will die. That word life means your soul. Whoever loses his soul, whoever loses, right, and whoever surrenders their will, their thoughts and their emotions, they will find life. Whoever loses his life will find it. Whoever is willing to say, Father, I want to align my thoughts with your thoughts. I want to align my will with your will. And I want to align my emotions with your emotions. They will find life. That is the battleground where most of it takes place. It's what we think, what we choose. And you know, God has set it up in this way that whatever you choose, he will give you. Life is made up this way. God gives us what we choose at the end of the day. And he wants the best of us, but he will not interfere in our will. Why not? Because perfect love always asks for the freedom to choose. There must always be a choice in love. And God loves us perfectly, so he always gives us a choice. So we can always choose. We can choose him to follow him and be obedient to him, or we can choose to walk another way. So the first question is, are we wholeheartedly in this? Are we wholeheartedly in this? And guys, throughout the Bible, if you just go and look at the kings of Israel, 42 kings, right? It's only said of 9 of them that they did what was right in the sight of the Father. And out of that 9, 6 slipped into sin at the end of their day, at the end of their life. And each time that they slipped into sin and walked away, every time it came down to this simple thing of disobedience. And the reason for the disobedience was a trust reason. They didn't trust God enough to come through at that moment for them. They didn't trust him enough and say, Father, we know that you know better, right? And in the end of the day, it is for our own good. Who of you have ever regretted being obedient to God? And who of us has regretted being disobedient? Right? God's way is good. It is good. And he wants the best for each one of us. He wants the best of each one. For each one of us, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to destruction. There's a place where I must say, Lord, I choose to surrender my will. I choose to surrender my emotions. I choose to surrender my thoughts to you. That belongs to you. It belongs to you, right? Are you guys in Daniel already? Now, he says in 1 John 5:3, before we get to Daniel, he says, the Lord says that his commandments are not burdensome to us. Now, that doesn't make it easy to keep, okay? It doesn't mean it is easy, but it is not burdensome. That means if you follow Christ, if you do what he asks you to do, it will not be a heaviness upon you. Mostly our heaviness comes from that place where we battle inside of us, where we know God is telling us to do this or he's asking us to go there, whatever. That battle that we have inside of us before we are obedient, that is the binding effect and the heaviness that comes upon us. It's mainly our own rebellion in our own hearts that binds us. It's the binding effect of sin in our lives. But I want to say to you, Christ didn't come. Jesus came to the cross and set us free from sin. He came to set us free from that bondage so that obedience may become possible. So wherever we are in life and with our relationship with the Lord, I want to tell you this, obedience is possible. It is possible. We must have faith that obedience is possible. It is possible to walk in the ways of the Lord. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Okay, that's revelation to some. You are going to make mistakes. What are you going to do in the moments of making a mistake? If love is not perfected, you will do what Adam and Eve did. You will hide from the Lord. You will hide from fellowship. When love is perfected, you repent and you run into the throne room of grace. And you say, as Paul said, I will forget what is behind me and I will look what is in front of me and I will continue to follow Jesus. It's acceptance. There's no fear in the perfect love of the Father, right? There's no fear in that. It's a place that we come to, we go into and we say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. But if it's not perfected, I see it so many times, people start just hiding, going out of fellowship. They don't want to be in fellowship. They don't want to be in God. And it's because we feel guilty and condemned, and that thing starts climbing onto us. And then it's not a pleasure anymore to walk with or even follow the Lord. It feels heavy and stuff. And it's not the Lord that's making us feel heavy. It's the weight and the weight of sin on our lives that make us feel heavy in those moments. It is not the Lord, right? If we who are earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Lord give good gifts to those who ask Him? Huh? I think many times our disobedience springs out of a place that we do not really think God is good. We don't really think that He is sovereign, and we don't really think that He loves us. So I try and follow my own way. Does that make sense? God is sovereign, right? He commands circumstances to work together for good. For who? For those who love Him. There's a reaction. Christ's love is unconditional. He's standing in front of us. It's unconditional, but we need to choose Him. We need to choose Him. We say, Father, I love You back. I will surrender. I'll give my life. Then we give access to the Father into our lives to actually work in our circumstances and work it all together for good. But so many Christians don't want to surrender, and then when troubling times come, they call upon the Lord, and then they get mad at the Lord because they didn't deliver them out of the choices of their own sin. They don't want to bear the consequences. And I like what Tozer says. He says many times we treat Jesus the way that Saul treated David. He wanted David to slay giants and to sing beautiful music and bringing deliverance, but he didn't want him to be king. And I tell you, there's something in the human heart that we do not like the fact that somebody rules over us. There's something in the heart that does not want to submit to a higher authority that says, I do not know everything and I do not have a right to everything. But it is grace upon grace upon grace that Christ has given to us. So I willingly submit myself and say, Father, not my will, but Your will be done, right? So we get into Daniel, and I just want to, I'm going to end off with this, just this example. These guys are amazing, 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 amazing. So can you remember when we talk about the call? We read the scriptures to say that many are called, but few are chosen. Do you remember that? Can you remember what we said? How are you chosen in the kingdom? And we use the example. Say for instance, we were moving next week, and I would have asked you guys, who are willing to help me move next week? Who are willing to help me move? Thanks. Okay. So this is the way it works in the kingdom. That is the way you see who your real friends are, right? I've just spotted you. So this is how it works in the kingdom. The issue is not who are called. Everybody is called. You are all called. The issue is how we respond to the call. So the call goes out. Who will help me move? The call of Christ goes out. Listen here, come here, follow me. And who will I choose to help me move? The ones who put up their hand. That's how you are chosen in the kingdom. Say, okay, you and you and you and you. You put up your hands. I choose you because you are willing to come. The rest are not chosen because they did not react to the call. So the issue is not the call. We are all called. The issue is how we react to the call. Does that make sense to you? Right? And if we know that the commands of the Lord are good to us, if we know it is good to us, why don't we follow it? Because there's a cost involved. There's a cost involved in following Jesus, right? There's a cost involved. What does he ask of us? Everything. All. I think many times, you know, in church, when we speak about stuff like tithing, tithing is giving 10% of your income to the house where you are planted in. It's a massive issue many times to talk about money in church. But what I find is many times we get a 10% mentality. I give the Lord 10% of my money. I give the Lord 10% of my time, 10% of my talent. But that's not at all what Jesus is asking us in the New Testament. What is he asking us? He's not only asking 10% of your money or 10% of your talent or 10% of your time. He's asking all of your money, all of your talent, all of your time. He's asking for everything. You hear my heart in this? Did Jesus die only 10% on the cross for us? No. The only reason he can ask everything from us is because he gave everything. Firstly, so then he asks everything, right? And what I mean by this is a place where I do not live in an entitlement where the things that I have, it's entitled to me. Ek waardig van dit, ek verdien dit nie. It's, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. I give it subject to you. What do you want me to do with this, right? Now, in Daniel 3, let's just read together in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. The thing I want to get at is that the choices of obedience that we make today, it has an impact, not only on our lives, but other lives. These three guys made a decision of obedience that they turned a whole nation around because of their choice of obedience for what they chose in that moment. And you know the story, right? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, later on, you know the story that he said, you must bow down to me as a god. And they said, no, we will not bow down. No, their choice of obedience turned the whole nation. Because after that, Nebuchadnezzar said that nobody is allowed to blaspheme the God of Israel. Nobody. Because no God saves as this God saves. Now, that whole turnaround was based on the obedience of these three men. And I believe, the reason why I'm going to share this is I believe that in our country, in our town, we have come to the point that we need to make choices. And that the choices we make from here on out is going to have an impact on the way going forward. It is going to have an impact on tomorrow and next week. Listen, the school system is not going to become more Christian. Society is not going to become more Christian. But what the church choose to do and who the church choose to obey in the midst of darkness will determine if we are truly going to be the light or not. Do you hear this? Right? What we choose. Now, they were in Babylon. It is a secular place, a secular culture. And at this moment where their choice mattered, they didn't make the choice of obedience in chapter 3. They made the choice of obedience in chapter 1. When they just came there and Daniel and them, and he said he chose them, they were wise and so on. And he saw, it says in chapter 1, Daniel saw the ways of the Babylonians and he chose, he said he will not defile himself with their ways, but he chooses the way of the Lord. Listen, if you want to wait for the moment of pressure to make a choice of obedience, listen to me, 90% of the time you're going to fail. You make the choice today. They made the choice of obedience 25 odd years before this in chapter 3. 25 odd years before that, they chose, are they going to be obedient or not? It sets the course for me. Because in the moment of pressure, in the moment of emotional hype and fleshly desires, our judgment gets clouded. And we just don't know, are we going to choose right or not? But if we preempt it, it helps us to set our course. And ultimately, the choices I make today will set my course and will determine if I will get to the call and fulfill and finish the race well. Amen? There's a lane, there's a way that's set out for us to run this race, right? With our eyes firmly fixed on Christ and not on worldly things, but on Christ for us to finish well. I think these days we teach people how to do life well and we do not teach people anymore how to end well. Right? So the choices we make, it is powerful. Many are called, but few are chosen. We are free to choose if we want to walk in the way of Christ or not. It is going to cost us something at the end of the day. Now for them, at that moment, listen, it doesn't matter in those moments what you can gain or what you can lose. What matters in those moments is what is real to you. What is your conviction? What are you convicted of? Are you convicted that Jesus is the Son of God and He's worthy to be followed? And that when you lose your life, you will truly find life? Are we convicted about this? Because in that moment, what was real for them is an earthly king that can take their life. What was real to them is a fire that in which they can die. But what was also real to them is a sovereign God. Now, what is amazing to me about this is you can read there, it says that God is able to save us out of this fire. But then they go on to say, now that is almost, if I knew God is going to save me out of the fire, that was like, okay, I'm going to be obedient, definitely. It's going to end well for me because it's all about me. And it's going to end well for me so I can go, I can be obedient. But then they go on to say, but even if God does not save me from this fire, let it be known to you, O King, I will not bow down to your gods. I will not walk in the way of this earth. Sometimes we want to be obedient just because we want to know that it's going to be okay at the end. We place promises on God and expectations on Him that He never gave. What is real to us? Do we want to preserve our life? Do we want to be obedient just because we know it's going to be okay in the end? Or are we okay with the fact that we are convicted of this fact, that Christ is with us, Christ in us is the hope of glory, and that my life is totally over in His hands? If He saves me from the fire, so be it, glory to Him, His name. If I die in the fire, glory be to His name. To what extent are we willing to give ourselves to the Lord? And I believe the reason why we're speaking about this is, do you know that the Lord wants to manifest Himself in the church? He wants to show Himself in the church. He wants to show Himself to the world in the church. It's amazing when you read in Acts, I love the fact that it says at one stage, it says that the community was scared of the church because the living God was in their midst. And even in that climate, you know, the Lord was adding people And I think when you get to third world countries and places where people pay the price for what they believe, there's something beautiful in that. There's really something beautiful in it. So I want to encourage us that even if you make small choices of obedience, it does matter. It does matter. And it does set your life on a course. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who is willing to walk the way that Christ has set out for us? Right? And I want to encourage us as an Afrikaner culture, because when we speak about stuff like this, ons raak morbied. Oh, Here. Dis aaklig om u te volg. Luister julle, dis snaar daai. Daai is 'n kultuurding. For the joy set before me, I endure the cross, Christ said. And may it be for every Afrikaner that we say, for the joy set before me, I will joyfully obey my King and my Lord. Christianity draai om hierdie ding dat Jesus is Heer. Ons sê baie keer dat in Romeine, wie ook al net sê, whoever confesses Jesus will be saved. But it says, whoever confesses Jesus as Lord will be saved. Not everybody that confesses Jesus. Jesus said, not everybody that calls me even Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does the will of my Father. There is a walking out of what we say we believe. And if we are not walking it out, a question mark arises if we really believe it. Do you hear this? Right? Church, I believe that we have come to a place where we need to make choices. And that choice is going to be in your work. It's going to be in your relationships. It's going to be those small things where we choose to either obey Christ or the world. That place where we must choose if I'm gonna give up this deal because I know it's a dirty deal or not. That choices I have to make, am I going to join this gossip or not? Am I going to choose to love somebody or not? Am I going to choose to take offense or not? It's those small choices of obedience. And let me tell you, the Lord sees that. He says that if we are faithful over the little, he will appoint us over much, right? He has called us to a place of obedience. And let me tell you this, also this place of obedience is a beautiful, wonderful place. Becker, can you listen long opgaan? It's a beautiful place. It's a great place to be. It is the place of life. It is not burdensome to follow Jesus. Amen? Huh? It is not burdensome. It is a joy. And it is a pleasure to say yes to Jesus. And what is he asking us? To believe in him, to love him, and to love one another. The power of obedience lies in the abiding presence of Jesus Christ in your life. Go and look out through Scripture. Every time God spoke and called people to great things, he always says to them, take courage and do not be afraid, for I am with you. Right? That truth is what we carry with us and carry along as we walk in obedience. To say in each moment, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. That is where the power of obedience flows out of. Right? Does that make sense? But we have come to a place where we as a church must be careful of the ways of this world. We must be careful of them and set ourselves on the ways of Christ and follow them, study them. Be rooted in Scripture. Be rooted in the Word. Be rooted in the love of God so that he can drive out the fear so that we might walk in perfect obedience. Can we stand together? And we pray and trust that that each one of us we'll come to the place where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, where he says, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. And then he ends it off and says, yet, not as I will, but as you will. It's not wrong to bring what you want before the Lord, but you must always make it subject to his will. What is his will? what is His will. And just as Jesus fulfilled His call on this earth through being obedient to Jesus Christ, to the Father, so we will fulfill each of our calls as we are obedient to Christ, as we submit to Jesus Christ. And as He draws us into an intimate relationship where we get to know Him, know His heart. And you know, when we get close to Him, we start seeing that He's trustworthy. And faith starts to build for us to choose obedience. And guys, I want to encourage you that sometimes we think that, you know, I don't want to make a choice of obedience. I'll just keep on, try and read my Bible a little bit more and pray a little bit more. And then I think that obedience will start growing in my life. Listen, if for where we are at this stage and in our lives, if you don't choose obedience, you're going to become more of what you are today. Jesus' words was repent and turn. Repent and turn. It is a choice I make today, and it's a choice I make in life where I say, Lord, I will not be following this way anymore, but I will be following You because I know You are the way, the truth, and the life. I know I will eat of the tree of life when I follow You. It will be good for me. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want to see His goodness manifest in me and around me. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. So the question for each one of us is, do we really believe that He loves us? Do we really believe that He is good? Do we really believe this? Do we build our choices upon this? Because this will shape how we walk. What is the place Christ has in our lives at this moment? And I know, I mean, we are fighting busyness each day. Every one of us is fighting just to slow down and not be too busy. What is the place that He has in this? What is the place He has in this? So Lord, we want to come before You and say thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You that You came, that You've died and rose again, and that You have made obedience to You possible, Lord. Father, that You say that we don't have to be ashamed of our own weakness, but we can embrace that and in faith know, Lord, that Your power becomes perfect in our weakness, Lord. And Here, ek wil vra dat ons nie meer bietsel raak oor gehoorsaamheid nie, Here. But that we will truly see the beauty of obeying You, Lord, and walking in Your ways, Father. Getting to know You, Jesus, even more and more, Lord. To bring everything that we do and everything that we say and everything that we have under Your control, Lord. To open up our hands and to trust You with what we have, Lord. Father, I thank You for where You are taking us. I thank You for where You are taking the church, Lord, Your body, Father. Wholly devoted to You and wholly devoted to Your cause, Lord. And Father, as we follow You and follow Your cause and journey together on Your mission, Lord, thank You for the relationships that is formed, Lord, along the way. Thank You that community flows out of this, Father God. Thank You that we learn what it means to fear You, Lord. That we learn what it means to love You, Father. But Lord, I pray that Your love may become perfect in us, that it will drive out all fear, so that we might be totally obedient, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I really feel for us this morning, and I just want to extend an invitation for the choice to be obedient and just to choose this and say, Jesus, I choose. I've always been on the edge, but today I want to choose. I want to choose to be obedient. You know, in my life, I had a conversion of repentance, and then I had another one of obedience. But I said, Jesus, I acknowledge You are the King, and You are the only way, the truth, and the life, and I cannot get to the Father except by You. I cannot be saved by any other name but Jesus Christ. And I confess that. And you know, as the Lord walked with me, I had to come to a point where I say, Lord, now I need to turn and say, Jesus, I'm ready to walk with You. And I choose this. I choose to be obedient to You. I choose to be obedient to You. And I don't want to make an altar call and call everybody to the front. I just want to just put this out there and say, choose today. The Lord says, He puts before us life and death. And then He says, you choose today. You choose today. Which one would you like to have? And Lord, we want to choose life. We want to choose to follow you and to eat and to see the goodness, Lord, of your hand in the land of the living. And Father, we want to follow you and give ourselves to you, not only for what you can give to us, but we want to seek your face, Father. And thank you that if we seek your face, we have your hand as well, Lord. Thank you that you are not after our things, but you are after us. And if you have us, you have our things, Lord. That everything is subject to you. So church, man, I just feel I need to pray for us for grace in this. So I just want to invite you, if you want to make just a choice of obedience today, if you just like put out your hands, not so that anybody can see, but to Jesus. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit for His grace upon us to walk in the ways of Christ. So Father, I just want to ask Holy Spirit that you will come and that you will fill us with your truth and with your wisdom, Lord, right now as we choose obedience, choose to walk according to your ways, Lord. Choose to put you first in all that we do, Lord. I ask for grace in this, Lord. Lord, you know our hearts, Lord. You know where we might fail and where we might succeed, Lord. But Father, with this, we want to give you our names, our reputations, and everything with it, Lord. We bring it subject to your name and subject to you. And we ask, Father, for your grace, Lord. And Lord, we pray, may we not be that generation that played it safe, that did not risk anything, Father God. Played it safe and be safe at the end of our days and say, oh, thank you, I'm safe. I've got a lot stored up. Father, I pray that you will release a boldness and a grace on everybody here today, Father, to boldly be obedient to whatever you ask us to do, Lord. To walk in the way that you have called each one of us to walk in, Lord. To boldly follow. Not for what we can get out of it, but because you are with us. And Father, I pray, may your name be glorified in all of this, Lord. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our minds. We pray, may you be glorified, Lord. May obedience become beautiful to us. A desire in our hearts, Lord, to be obedient to you. And Father, I want to thank you for all the obedience that I already see, Father God. Just everybody being here today, Lord, a desire to obey you, a desire to seek your face, and a desire to know you, a desire to follow you in all things, Lord. And Father, I pray that you will, in our generation, teach us how does this look in our culture. Lord, will you teach us how does this look in time management? How does this look, Lord, in priorities, Father? Will you teach us, Holy Spirit, will you come and empower us and convict us? And may your name receive all the glory and all the honor, Lord, from every small act of obedience. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. So I want to invite you to keep on reading John 14 to 17 and 1 John, and just go and read it and see what the Lord is speaking to you about in those areas. Go and seek.